all this week from March 1st to March 7th, all the proceeds that come to us when you use our links for Amazon.com is being donated to the Reality Rally and Michelle's Place. So get the best deals on everything you need and help support a great cause all week long when you start your shopping at robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who makes podcasting look easier than baby bear soup, baby, Rob Cisternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to our amazing race. Oh, wait, we still didn't come up with a new name for it.
Yeah, I've got a list of finalists. I thought maybe we'd put it to a vote.
Okay, good. What are our finalists?
I don't have them handy. I will send them to you. You can put them up when you put up the podcast.
All right, maybe tomorrow we'll talk about them on the live show.
Yes, I think that's a good plan.
All right, anyway, so I am Rob Cisternino here with Jessica Lees. Jessica, how are you doing?
I'm doing very good, Rob. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic and better than Mark and Mallory are doing.
I think it's safe to say everyone's doing better than Mark and Mallory.
I think so. Oh, my God. I love the race tonight. Oh, it's such a great... I feel like so many people are probably not even going to get to it until tomorrow or Tuesday night because of the Oscars. But, boy, what a great episode of the race.
Yeah, and I was looking at it, and I'm thinking, they aren't going to go anywhere. The tasks look terrible. How is this going to be a great episode? And then it turned out wonderful.
Yeah, this is my favorite episode of the race that I can remember in recent memory.
Yeah, it's definitely an upgrade.
Okay, so we have a lot to talk about here tonight. Of course, this is our Sunday night show that we're still waiting to come up with a name for, but this is where Jess and I are going to break down everything about the episode to get you set up for my exit interview with Mark and Mallory, and we'll see how CBS is going to handle that on Monday. And then on Monday night, Jessica and I will be live at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, when we will speak with your current and...
reigning Amazing Race champions?
Yes, your reigning Amazing Race champions, Jason and Amy, on Monday night. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Hope you guys can join us live and ask your questions to Jason and Amy about their experience on the race and what they thought about all this drama tonight, especially that they know the Afghanimals and what they, you know, they had a little bit of a, you know, their backpacks got moved at one point.
Yeah. Yeah, that seems relatively small in the grand scheme.
Yeah. So they had some drama with a backpack, but not
even in the backpack drama department, that wasn't even a huge thing.
Okay, so let's start here tonight. I feel like we have two big stories to cover. One of which is being what we're going to want to call it Backpack Gate.
Yeah, I guess so.
Backpack Gate, and then we're going to then talk about the Express Pass flirt that was done here between the country music singers and Cord and Jet. So we'll talk about all that and much more and answer some of your questions from Twitter as well here in this show. So let's start off with Mark and Mallory. And Jess, I would love to know what your thoughts were on this. Was Mark in the wrong here? Should Mark have just sucked it up and raced with just the clothes on his back?
I mean, to be honest, I feel like they both messed up big time on this. I mean, initially, Mallory had both backpacks in her hand. She should not have set them down. If she was going to set it down somewhere, she should have set it down in the cab. And I think after that, I think Mark was wrong to insist that they go back for it because they were going to lose so much time on that. And if his main objective is really to win the race, you know, $1 million is going to buy you a brand new backpack that's all top of the line.
Yeah, but it wasn't even his backpack.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Hold on. I thought you get issued a backpack from the Amazing Race. You have to bring your own backpack?
Yeah, you have to bring your own. You bring all your own stuff.
Oh, I thought that they give. I thought it's like because when you go on Survivor, they give you a pack, and then you put your stuff in. They give you a canteen. So I figured, oh, Amazing Race must just give you a backpack.
Oh no! You have to do all your own packing, and then they, of course, veto certain items, and they go through everything and check it over and tell you what you can and can't bring. But everybody's responsible for bringing their own stuff. And in fact, one season they had the team of flight attendants brought rolling suitcases, which ended up being kind of a dumb move.
Oh.
But yeah, you choose your own backpack.
So Mark borrowed a backpack from somebody to go on the Amazing Race?
Maybe so. maybe he and Bopper were only planning on bringing one backpack.
I mean, and then was that a good reason to go back and get it? That it was, it wasn't even Mark's backpack.
I still don't think that's a good enough reason.
But it wasn't his. His friend was going to be pissed.
The thing that shocked me was that when they went back to get it, it was still there, which that blew my mind. Why was it still there? Why didn't somebody come and take it?
Yeah, it seemed like Mark was pretty stubborn about the whole backpack thing.
Yeah, and I think it just kind of, it drove a wedge between them that just couldn't recover from.
Yeah, but I do think it was 100% Mallory's fault.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, Mark is carrying this huge toy car over his head. He has to hold his backpack also?
Yeah, what hand is he going to hold that backpack with?
Yeah. I mean, for Mallory, it was like, you had one job. You had one job. And that was to get the backpacks to the taxi.
Yeah, and he even asked her as they were leaving the mall, do you have the backpacks? And she's like, yeah, here's the backpacks. And then, you know, 30 seconds later, she sets it down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, 100% Mallory's fault. And I feel like she didn't really own that.
Yeah, she seemed insufficiently contrite.
Yeah. So, what about the order of what they did? Should they have gone back sooner? Or should they deliver the car and then go back? Was that the right? Or they should have not even gone back at all?
It depends on how far away the car delivery place was. And they should have maybe gone back as soon as they realized they did not have the bag. But at a certain point, you gotta decide. You have to, you know, decide whether it's worth it. It's like cost benefit analysis.
Are you surprised none of the other teams grabbed it?
Well, it was big. Those backpacks are not small. I mean, I could see someone dropping their passport or their little Amazing Race fanny pack. I could see someone picking that up, but I really couldn't see someone picking up like a 20-pound backpack, and that's going to slow you down.
What was weird to me was that Mallory had Mark's passport and medication in her bag. So it was almost like, okay, I'm going to put all the important stuff in my bag, and then I'm only going to pay attention to my bag. And it was almost like, well, if we lose Mark's bag, it's like no big deal because I have all the important stuff.
Yeah, well, I could see why. I bet she consolidated all of the absolutely essential things and put them in the fanny pack, because we have seen many teams drop something out of the fanny pack or drop the entire fanny pack. And if you're going to lose something on the race, you don't want to lose that thing. So I think it was smart of her initially to put all the things that they can't live without in that one spot.
Yeah, absolutely. How bad was this meltdown for you in comparison to other great race meltdowns?
You know, we have seen some pretty epic meltdowns. I feel like it was less of a meltdown and more of an implosion. And we see a lot of those too. But as far as implosions go, this was pretty spectacular. Because you saw after a certain point, Mark wasn't even really trying to pass the detour. He was just so frustrated he couldn't participate.
Yeah.
And Mallory kept getting more and more upset. And part of this is because they don't know each other and they don't know how to talk to each other. I feel like any other team out there, one of them loses something that belongs to the other person, they're going to cash it out right away and get over it and move on. And that didn't happen here because neither one of them knew how to navigate around the other person's personality.
Yeah, and their fighting was really, really great. I really enjoyed that just for, as a TV watcher. And I thought the funniest part was that Mark called out Mallory on her Kentuckiness.
Yeah. Someone from Kentucky would not do that. She's not acting Kentucky enough.
She's not Kentucky enough, and she got really hurt. She said that really, you know, cut her.
That cut to the bone. Like, how dare he question her Kentucky integrity?
Yeah, I thought you were Kentucky. Is Mallory more becoming of a different state, you feel like?
I think, you know, it depends on the severity of the infraction, but, you know, she could get demoted to, like, Arkansas or, you know, North Dakota.
Okay, can you rank these six people for me in Kentuckiness? Okay, Mark, Bopper, Mallory, Mallory's dad, and Kent and Vixen.
I think Kent and Vixen are on the bottom there.
They're the least Kentucky?
They're the least Kentucky. In fact, I didn't know they were Kentucky until I looked them up on the internet. And then I'm going to say Mallory is the fourth most Kentucky. And her dad gets to be more Kentucky by virtue of the fact that he's older than she is. And then Mark and Bopper can tie up at the top there.
Yeah. So there you go. A tie for Mark and Bopper. So when they got to the challenge, and it was odd that all 10 teams all did the same detour, and nobody did the Chinese medicine one. So
I don't think that's terribly odd, and I'll tell you why.
Why?
Because in season 14, which was Margie and Luke's first season, there was a roadblock where they were in China, and they had to get a Chinese foot massage, and it was super-duper painful. And everyone struggled through this horrible, painful massage. And I would think everyone has at least either seen that or spoken to Margie and Luke about this. Nobody's going to want to take a chance on Chinese massage.
Okay. And Featherball sounded inviting.
It does. And, you know, it's described as being tacky sack-esque. And, you know, if it's something a bunch of stoners can handle, you can probably handle it yourself.
That's right. So, a lot of the teams struggled with this, and it seemed like it took a very long time. But when Mark and Mallory got there, they weren't, you know, there were other teams that were still in the mix there. Like, they could have, had they been able to complete that task, they could have still not come in last in this race. So that's why I feel like going back for the backpack wasn't, like, it wasn't the time that they spent on that. It was the damage to their relationship, I feel like, that was done. Because had they been, you know, a functioning team at that point, they could have still not come in last.
Yeah, which is why I kind of assign equal culpability to the whole backpack gate. Because certainly Mallory made a big mistake in leaving the backpack behind. But Mark could have chosen to react to that in a very different way. And I think he just exacerbated the situation.
Yeah. So when at the actual task, though, there was, you know, a lot of struggle with that. With a lot of teams struggled handling the shuttlecock.
Yeah, well, it didn't move. It didn't fly completely aerodynamically.
Yes,
like you had to kind of get used to how your shuttlecock was flying.
Yes, Mark and Mallory especially, they really were struggling. A couple times, I even saw the shuttlecock hit Mallory in the face.
Yeah, and I saw at one point she kicked it up in the air and it went like right in front of Mark's feet and dropped. And he didn't even try to kick it.
Yeah. No, and when you're tired, it could be very difficult to keep the shuttlecock up.
Yeah, I've heard that's a problem that happens to a lot of people.
they struggle with it. But some teams didn't have that much trouble with their shuttlecock.
No, they kept it up the whole time.
Yeah. I was surprised that Flight Time and Big Easy weren't better at it.
Well, you know, they work with their hands a lot, and this is a feet task.
Yeah, but doesn't that seem like, doesn't it seem like something that Globetrotters would be good at?
Yeah, I mean, they are more coordinated than the average person, but they also, they're used to, if it was just the two of them having to pass it back and forth, I think they'd have an easier time, but you had to join a team, and they didn't really, part of the task was figuring out the rhythms of the other people on your team.
How about that one save? Was it Jet or Cord that made like a diving?
that was amazing.
That really was. And that was on the one that they won on.
Yeah, I was tweeting that we really needed Jeff Probst there to narrate the action. You know, Cord making a diving catch to save his team.
Yeah, that was amazing.
I wanted Jeff Probst the whole time.
Yeah, he would have been great. And we could have gotten a lot of inappropriate, out-of-context shuttlecock comments.
I feel like this was a missed opportunity for, you know, cross-branding synergy.
Yeah. All right, so we've talked about Mark and Mallory a bit here. Let's talk about the other big story from this episode. And another complete meltdown avoided with Jen and Caroline over putting the car together. Or basically Caroline said, "I hate assembling more than anything in the whole world." Really? Really?
Well, she hates it more than, you know, she hates it more than murder.
Really? She hates it more than disease or anything like that? I hate assembling?
She hates it more than water bugs.
Yeah. So I hate assembling more than anything else in the whole world. So basically, it was almost a near disaster for Cord and Jet in the beginning of the episode, where they did go from first to worst somehow.
Yeah. Well, they're very good at that. I feel like the last time they raced two, they'd go from first to worst and worst to first all the time. You never see Jet and Cord in the middle of the pack.
Yeah. Well, that was sort of an interesting thing that I think was it Flight Time and Big Easy that said about them? Boy, it's like they're not here right now, but when they get here, they make short work of the competition.
It's true. Yeah. They're very good at getting themselves out of a tight spot.
So everybody's putting the toy cars together. And I thought this was kind of a fun challenge. It's basically like an IKEA challenge where you have instructions that are in a different language and you sort of got to put them together. I really love the little girl that was talking to Flight Time while he was putting his thing together.
Yes, clearly a Washington Generals fan.
Yes. Yes. I thought it was funny also. A lot of funny stuff happened in putting the car together. Leo Jamal seemed very excited to party with kids. I felt like that was sort of a weird thing for them to say.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think that a pair of grown-ass men should come into a mall yelling, "Where are the kids at? I want to play with the kids."
That's yeah, we're here to party with the kids. Then, also, Rachel, I think Rachel's biological clock might be ticking here.
Yeah, that was... She's very, very anxious. Could we see our first, like, Amazing Race baby conceived out on the race course?
Rachel's very excited to have babies very soon.
Yeah, well, that would be an incredible reality spinoff.
Absolutely.
Like, I want to see hormonal Rachel. That would be really entertaining.
Sure. And then Mark had that line when he put his thing together. And Mark really did do it very fast. He says that it's just like baby bear soup, baby. What does that mean?
I don't even know. Doesn't baby bear have porridge?
Like, should we get, like, the people, like, PETA out after Mark that he's making soup out of baby bears?
No, I think it's soup for baby bears.
Is it soup for baby? Because there's a big difference. Is it like porridge?
I took it as like a Goldilocks illusion that, you know, he did it just right. Maybe that's what he meant.
Oh.
I that was the best I could come up with.
Okay, well, I was afraid that maybe that Mark, I don't know how Kentucky this is or not, that he was making soup out of baby bears and it was like a whole veal thing.
Oh, yeah, no, just say no to bear. It doesn't taste very good anyway. It's kind of fatty.
But you've eaten a bear?
I have eaten bear.
Whoa.
I don't recommend it.
Okay, well, how about in a soup form?
I don't think it would make very good soup, to be honest.
No, okay. All right, so this was a very interesting use of the Express Pass because you had all of the teams there and everybody was sort of witness to this. And Jen and Cord had the Express Pass and basically Jen and Caroline are on the verge of a meltdown. Like, I have no doubt that Jen and Caroline end up eliminated on this leg of the race if they don't get the Express Pass.
Yeah, that's true. But Jen and Caroline have one talent that I called it out the first time they raced together, that they get upset about things, but they're upset for like 3 seconds and then they figure out a way out of it. And that happened over and over on their first time out. And this time I feel like they did it again. They thought, how do we get out of this with our sanity intact? We will go ask the Cowboys and we'll get that Express Pass and we'll get out of here. Yeah. I thought it was well played.
Well, before we had that part where they actually tried to get the express pass, they were talking about in their interview about how Jen and Caroline, they said, we flirt with each other. We flirt all the time. We flirt with life. What does that mean?
That seems really new agey to me. And I didn't realize that Nashville had that kind of touchy-feely new agey stuff.
Yeah.
But
I mean,
who knows?
Flirt with life sounds like they're playing like Russian roulette.
Yeah, I think that's flirting with death.
Is that different?
Yeah, I think that's different.
So what would flirting with life look like?
I guess it's about going out and seeing what you can get life to give you by being upbeat and charming.
Okay, sure. All right, well, it got them on The Amazing Race twice. Now we know how they got back on the show.
It certainly did.
Like, hey, Les, what's happening? Come on, put us back on the show. So it's Caroline has to put the stuff together, and she's pissed off that she has to do it. So it's Jen and Cord are together.
Yeah.
And Jen is working it, and she's saying, hey, give us the express pass. Come on. And I was surprised that they did it.
Well, if I was them, that's not a bad call to make because, you know, A, they're going to burn it off immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And B, they're maybe not the most obviously strong team out there.
It seemed like it was a win-win for both people because
yeah.
It's like you got to give it away. They were going to use it in that moment. And especially Jet had already finished the car. So they knew they were like, and all the teams were together. You knew you were leaving like four or five teams behind them, like because they showed up at the same time. Where it was like, oh boy, they're going to both be fighting for last place. They can't give them the express pass, but they built the car so fast that they actually were able to do it.
Yeah, so that again doesn't surprise me. They're good at knocking things out of the park like that.
Yeah. So, but the flirtation was really, really well done. I have to, you know, I haven't given Jen and Caroline much props through their two seasons of being on the race, but I have to give Jen a lot of credit for what she was able to pull off here.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know, maybe I should save this for the blog, but I feel like when it comes to women who go on the show and say they're going to flirt, I feel like there's a type of flirting that's much more excusable than the ones who just come on and are like, oh, we're going to have race boyfriends.
Without naming names.
I'm not naming any names here, partially because I don't fully remember those names. But, you know, Jen and Caroline always flirt with purpose. And it's only part of their strategy. It's not their entire strategy. It reminds me a lot of how Parvati plays Survivor. She's not 100% a flirt, but she's very charming, and she uses the flirting to get what she wants. She's also very strategically savvy and good at the challenges.
Yeah. I hear you. And it has served them well in their two times on the race.
Yeah, it definitely did.
Yeah. So they get the express pass. And what I loved about this also was how catty, I guess it was it Jessica and Joey were about this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know that the express pass is a sore spot for Jessica.
Yes, absolutely. And so let's talk about then. I feel like the third storyline to talk about is the alliance of John and Jessica and Megan and Joey and how strong the alliance was, considering that at a point in the game where they both thought they were the last two teams, Megan stopped and taught John how to put the car together, and which really blew my mind.
Oh, so she pulled an Amy is what we're saying.
Yes.
Yeah, that was kind of amazing. I mean, in a vacuum, these guys are natural allies because they raced together before. They know each other. They're, you know, they gravitate toward the people you know the best already. And I think in the back of the pack sometimes, I feel like the camaraderie takes over. And you know, they figured if one of them is going to get eliminated, they want the other one to do better.
Yeah. Now, do you think it's fair to have two teams that are in an alliance back on the race together?
I think that could have been done a lot better. I am not sure. I feel like there's too many teams from season 22 to begin with.
Yeah.
Like it's fully one third of the cast. And, you know, I feel like it's just trying to trying to rewrite history. And I don't much appreciate that.
What do you mean we're trying to rewrite history? Like with the somebody has like a Amazing Race 23 or 22 sports almanac?
Yeah, I think they are absolutely getting into DeLorean, going back to Amazing Race 22 and trying to hand the sports almanac to John and Jessica.
Oh no. Not to Megan and Joey?
Maybe also to Megan and Joey. They were in an alliance.
Okay. So, but Megan even said at the end of the episode, she said they have to rethink this because that was too close of a call.
Yeah, and Megan's very smart about that kind of thing. And I feel like in the moment, she just saw John struggling and being upset and her human side responded to it. And then later on, she thought, well, that wasn't strategically the best thing to do. And I think she'll learn from that. And they may not be quite so easy to convince to help other people later on.
What a logjam at the mat tonight, also. Have you ever seen that before?
It looks like that selfie that Ellen took at the Oscars.
Yes. Oh, man. Taking a selfie at an awards show. What a novel concept, Ellen.
she's stealing your game, Rob.
Yeah.
You should sue.
I'm going to sue her. I have evidence. I have a selfie. Has there ever been a logjam like that before at the mat?
No, I've never seen more than like three teams on the mat at one place. And I feel like Phil, I've never seen him so...
He was flustered. He didn't know what to do.
He can't count higher than four, apparently.
Yeah, that was great. And that was great that they left it in there. So kudos to the Amazing Race for leaving that in because...
Well, Phil has a sense of humor about himself.
I suspect if that happened on Survivor, I think that would be on the cutting room floor.
Yeah, I'm sure it probably has happened on Survivor.
All right, that's four votes, Shamar. Was it that three votes or four votes? Was that, all right, forget it. Let's go back. Let's do it again.
Yeah, I'm sure. I wish they were putting them all out on DVD and putting like the blooper reel on special features.
Yeah, the bloopers. That was great. And Phil played it off really good. It was such a fun moment for everybody when they got the counting wrong.
Yeah, and I loved that they all were so close together. It was like a foot race for places 1 through 7.
Yeah. Now, I thought this was a little odd, and you tell me if it bothered you at all. So we get to, I guess, the Afghanimals check in, and they're number 7. And then Phil says, oh, Brendan and Rachel, I didn't even get to tell you yet what your prize is. So thank God it wasn't a good prize, because wouldn't that be something that's going to piss all the other teams off?
Yeah, well, I feel like the teams know that everybody's getting a prize when they win a leg.
Yeah. So did Brendan and Rachel luck out that it wasn't like, you're both getting a brand new car. You're getting the Ford product placement mobile 2014.
Yeah, maybe. But I feel like it's probably, after a certain point, it's common knowledge what people want on their leg.
Yeah. But it was only $2,500 each.
Yeah, that seems pretty cheap for the race. Usually they give away $5,000 or $10,000.
Yeah, it's a kind of a paltry Amazing Race first leg prize.
Well, you know, in a tough economy, I guess everybody's got to cut some corners.
Yeah, they got to cut some corners. A couple of other interesting lines from this episode. I loved it when Big Easy got out of the taxi and he said that getting out of a taxi for me is like getting out of the birth canal. It's like, wow.
That was poetic. That was like strangely profound.
Are the taxis in China smaller than American taxis, or would that be any taxi?
I would say that cars everywhere in the world are smaller than American cars.
Oh.
So that it would not surprise me if the Chinese taxis were a little bit smaller than your typical American taxi.
Yeah. And then what did you think of getting stamped on the forehead? Was that necessary?
I don't think it was necessary, but it was entertaining.
Yeah.
And I liked that immediately they started to sweat off the ink and it was all over their faces. That was pretty fun too.
I like that as well. All right. So Jess, let me ask you some questions that came to us from our loyal listeners who were tweeting during the show and not watching the Oscars.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, so let's find the first question.
And I think we need to thank everybody for not watching the Oscars.
Just thank you. In our acceptance speech, we'll thank everybody who did not watch the Oscars. Yes. All right, Kurt Clark has a question for you. He wants to know, do you think that the country singers were asked to get different hairstyles so we could tell them apart and use hashtag still can't?
I don't know what's hard about this. One of them is a foot taller than the other one. Tall one is Jen, the short one is Caroline. I've never had a problem with this.
All right, well, now that I know your system, maybe I'll be able to tell them apart also.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty committed to finding ways of telling people apart. Like, at one point, I could even, like, with some of the identical twins, I could tell them apart. But,
yeah,
Caroline and Jen were, they never struck me as a particularly difficult to distinguish team.
Evil Roy wants to know, why does Dave have to put Christmas presents together on Christmas Eve? Don't parents do that Christmas Day if Santa was too busy?
Yeah, well, they shouldn't have to do that at all. Don't the elves do that?
I guess so. I mean, boy, Connor, what a nice life. He wakes up to fully assembled Christmas presents.
Yeah, well, I told you, Dave's a nice guy. If anybody's going to put together presents for their kid, it's Dave O'Leary.
Yes, I guess so. Oh, man. very, very, what a great dad.
Yeah, I love that this was a task that favored dads. I thought that was pretty cute.
Yeah. Okay. Our own Sarah Freeman wants to know, what call would you have made with retrieving the backpack? And bear in mind, it's somebody else's backpack. It's a borrowed backpack.
Well, I think regardless of whether or not you go back for it, the correct move is to grovel.
Grovel to who?
You grovel to the person whose backpack it was.
Oh.
And if it was your fault for losing it, at least, you know, be sufficiently sorry that they feel bad that they're making you go back and get it.
Okay. Yeah, so you want to guilt trip the person whose backpack it was after you get home?
Yeah. Yeah, you guilt trip them. And, like, as they're trying to convince you to go back to the backpack, you guilt trip them and make them feel really bad for asking you.
That would be the correct move. Survivor Twerks wants to know, the Afghanimals offer to help Mark and Mallory. Who on God's green earth would want the help of them?
Well, they went really far. They're good racers.
Yeah.
And I feel like if someone's coming up to you and offering to help you, let them help you. You know, if someone asks you if you're a god, you say yes.
Yes, that's right. Here's a question from the original Donald on Twitter. He says, I believe that Haymaker Hattie tweeted this, but teams leaving the start in a different order. Was there a penalty assessed? Just did teams leave in a different order than they finished last week?
Yeah. Joey and Megan checked in 10th last week, but they left 8th at the beginning of the leg. And I don't have a definitive answer for why that is, but I can tell you some reasons that has happened in the past. And because they used to call it out when that happened. And it usually has to do with if they check in later through no fault of their own, like if it's actually production's fault that they checked in later, like cameraman stopped to change a battery or something like that, they will frequently get a time credit for any time that the cameraman wasted on their quest to finish the race.
Okay, that's interesting.
So I think that's probably what happened. They weren't going to be eliminated. It didn't affect the check-in order, but they got to leave a little bit earlier because they were delayed due to their crew.
What if it was going to affect you, whether you're the last team to arrive? It's tough luck.
I think they'd do some creative shooting around that, I think.
Okay. So if, like, the camera had to change a battery and I lost 10 minutes and then we come in last by 5 minutes, what would they do?
They'd probably reshoot it. They'd reshoot the last place team running up to the mat after they reshoot you coming in and being the second to last team.
Oh, well, that would be good.
Yeah, I don't know for sure that that's ever happened, but I suspect that's what they would do in that situation.
Matt Gregg wants to know, do you think that there is any chance that Mark and Mallory were the same size? Maybe they could they have shared clothes?
I'd love to see Mark in those leggings.
Wouldn't that be great if Mark would
be fabulous.
run the, if Mark would have just run the race in Mallory's clothes.
Yeah, I endorse that plan. That's a good plan.
Yeah, that was a very good plan. Anything else from the episode tonight?
Let's see. I guess not. I have nothing important here. I have some trivial things.
Okay,
I can say,
fire away. Because I can say, we won't get to the trivial with Jason and Amy tomorrow.
No, probably not. Like, we're not going to talk about how John was having a bad race day and a bad hair day. And
why do you say John was having a bad hair day?
Because he had his hat on the whole time and his hair was just kind of like frizzing out underneath it. Like, he had such carefully sculpted hair in the first leg, and this time it just all came apart.
Now, should John be in danger of losing a man card that he needed Megan's help to assemble the toy car?
I hope he feels regret that anybody had to help him. I hope he does not feel additional regret because the person that helped him was female.
Okay, that's fair.
I think you shouldn't. He should be ashamed that he couldn't do it, but I don't think that's any testament to his testosterone level.
Yeah. I forget. Do we talk about what happens in the previews on the show or not?
I don't know if we have a policy in place.
Okay, I want to talk about something that happens in the previews. So if you don't want to hear about the previews, just turn the volume down for the next minute. I'll keep it under 60 seconds.
Okay.
Are we concerned about the well-being of Brendan and Rachel next week?
Yeah, I mean, Rachel was running such a great race up until that. What looks like some really terrible things next week. And I really hope that it's overblown because I like the new Rachel and I want to see her succeed.
Yes, and we can confirm, I don't believe Brendan and Rachel are dead. I believe Brendan and Rachel survived the Amazing Race All-Stars.
Rachel tweeted at me tonight, or maybe it was the person she had tweeting for her while she was on the race.
Or while she was dead?
Yeah. Maybe she's got somebody like, doing postmortem.
Is she flirting with life at this point?
Maybe she's flirting with death.
Oh, okay. Looks like she's flirting with death next week.
Yeah, that's what that looks like. That's flirting with death.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll see what happens next week. All right. We'll stop talking about the previews in case people come back from that. From silencing for a minute. Okay. All right. So exit interview tomorrow. Go to robisawebsite.com to see it. Or you could subscribe to our Amazing Race podcast. I've been posting the links now for the iTunes version and the RSS version. If you click the Amazing Race tab on robhasawebsite.com, or you can get the iTunes version directly at robhasawebsite.com/TAR podcast, or for all of our shows, robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. And we really appreciate when you give us some star ratings and feedback on iTunes as well, because that helps other people find the show. Okay?
Okay.
And I mentioned it at the top of the show. This is a reality rally give back week that 100% of the proceeds from you guys shopping on Amazon.com, I am donating to Michelle's Place in the Reality Rally. So if you need anything from Amazon, this is the best week to do it between March 1st and March 7th. So if you make a purchase between now and the 7th on Amazon, then that money is going to get donated to the Jillian Larson's Reality Rally. And it's a really great cause, so happy to help out with that stuff. And hope you guys can come up with some things to be able to support the Reality Rally and get some great stuff.
Stuff is good, and fighting cancer is also good.
That's very good. It's very good. All right, Jess, so I will talk to you tomorrow night.
Yep, I'm looking forward to it.
And be on the lookout for Jessica's Amazing Race blog on robhasawebsite.com, and follow Jess on Twitter. She's at Haymaker Hattie.
That is correct.
There you go. All right, Jess, go watch the rest of the Oscars on DVR. Have a great night. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Take care, everybody. Bye.